Well, once again, welcome to Wylie Methodist this morning. Glad that you're spending your Mother's Day with us, worshiping with us. If you are especially, we're glad if you are a visitor with us this morning, we're especially glad that you're here. I hope that you feel the love of Christ in this place. And as we just invited the Holy Spirit to be here, I hope that you feel the Spirit of God in this place. Do we feel the Spirit of God in this place? If you are visiting with us this morning, I invite you, there's a blue card in the seat pocket in front of you, and would love for you to fill that out, let us know you were here. You're not required to do that, but really would just like to know that you were here, and if you would like to be on our email list, you can write your email down there and check the little box. I thought you'd like to be on our list. We try not to bug you too much with those emails, and but just kind of let you know things that are coming up. If you would, and you can just leave that card on the seat there in front of you when you leave today. If you would turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I want to kind of set this passage up a little bit. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we're going to start in verse 22. Now, the Apostle Paul, we'll talk more about him in a moment, but the Apostle Paul is kind of having this this discussion. It's almost like a brag session. Everybody's kind of explaining to Paul, you know, why they're so great and everything. So Paul can't resist. He decides that he's going to get in on some of that. So 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 22. These are the words of Paul. Are they Hebrews? So am I. A little bragging here. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I'm out of my mind to talk like this. Don't you just love that? Paul, he's doing a little bragging, and he's kind of like, why am I doing this? I'm out of my mind to be bragging like this. Are they servants of Christ? I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. Isn't that odd that in your bragging session you're talking about people been beating the hound out of me? It's in the Bible, beating the hound out of me. But he's bragging about the suffering that he's endured. I have been flogged more severely. I have been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. Now, stop a second. As I recall, the Jewish law, if you were whipped more than 40 lashes, I think that was punishable by death, as my biblical teaching reminds me. And so in order to kind of keep from like, I miscounted, they would do, instead of 40 lashes, they would do 40 lashes minus one, just to make sure the guy who was doing the lashing didn't want to miscount and end up finding himself in a world of hurt. So he received 5 times the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, speaking of the Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, and in danger in the... He's been in danger, guys. In danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I'm not sure that difference between hunger and going without food, but he's done both of them. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. In other words, he had a pastor's heart. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we have invited you. We would ask you to speak. We would ask you to speak in power and authority and change us, transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So, continue the sermon series today. It may seem like a little odd topic for Mother's Day, but it's just the way it kind of fell. So the sermon series is Dear God. We're going to God's Word, and we're answering questions that many people have. And God has provided the answers to everything that we would wonder about in His Word. So today, Dear God, if you are loving, why do bad things happen? You ever ask that question, church? If you're a loving God, why do bad things happen? Maybe even more to the point, why, God, do you let bad things happen? If we're really getting serious about that question. You know, it's just interesting. It really kind of just stuck out to me as I was reading the scripture this morning isn't it odd that Paul is being boastful about his suffering? Isn't that odd? I mean, you know, us today, I don't think we would be boastful about our suffering. We might say, you know, I've worked at the food pantry for the last 4 years, haven't missed a week, you know, or I have, you know, I've helped my neighbor, or I've mowed my yard for my friend. Or, I mean, we would boast about things we had done that we thought were Christian, that we thought pleased God. But how many of us would boast about our suffering? What's up with that? Paul, just to kind of set the stage for who this is that's doing this boasting, this was God's man. I mean, he started out, he was a persecutor of the Christians. He was a Jew, and he thought this Christian sect was doing harm to the Jews, and so he's persecuting. He's actually assisted in executions of Christians, arresting Christians. But then in Acts chapter 9, you can read about this, Paul had an encounter with the resurrected Jesus. Now, and everything changed. Have you had an encounter with the resurrected Jesus? Everything changed for Paul. I mean, he didn't have it really, and he went and he began to study more about Christ and so forth. But the change began, this radical change in Paul's heart happened on the road to Damascus when he encountered Christ. I think that we need to understand that. He was God's chosen man to bring the gospel message to the Gentiles. You and I, if we are Gentiles, which if we're not Jewish, we are Gentiles, and we are here today professing Christ as our Lord and Savior through the message of Paul. Paul started it all. In fact, I've said this before, but roughly, I kind of counted up, just right at half of the New Testament is attributed to Paul. Now, there's some scholars will say, well, this maybe wasn't Paul, maybe this was a disciple of Paul, and so on and so forth. But in those days, in the biblical days, if you were an apostle of someone and you wrote from the teachings that you had, it was attributed to the person that you were writing on behalf of, that you had been mentored by. So half or so of the New Testament. And I'm just going to jump through these. This is God's guy. Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, and Philemon are all attributed to Paul. It's roughly half of the New Testament. This is a fairly significant guy, and he's boasting about his suffering. Now, so the question that comes to me is, if God loved Paul, and he obviously did, I mean, you don't send out with the important task that was before Paul. God doesn't send that person out unless he loves you. Why would God allow Paul such suffering? If you're a loving God, God, why did you let Paul be beaten and shipwrecked and lashed? Why did you let people speak ill against him? Why did you let him go hungry? Shouldn't everything be smooth sailing for God's people? Shouldn't we always have plenty of money in the bank? Shouldn't we always be healthy? Shouldn't we always have plenty of food on the table? If you love us, God, If you love Paul, why did you let him suffer so? And even further, why, Paul, are you boasting about it? Listen to this in Philippians. These are also attributed to Paul. In Philippians 4, it says this. Paul says, I have learned, and there that I want you to hear that word, learned. I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned, there it is again, the secret of being content in any and every situation. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. You see, Paul got it. He got it. He understood that God's love is not contingent upon how my day is going. Hello, is anybody listening? God's love for you is not contingent upon how others are treating you, what they're saying about you. God's love is not contingent upon if you have a good job or you're struggling to find a job. Paul understood that. He learned to be content whatever the circumstances. What about us, church? So I want to make 3 points today about that whole issue of why bad things happen. Now, sometimes you'll hear that question phrased, why do bad things happen to good people? And I want to tell you, bad things happen to good people and bad people. Did you know that? I mean, if you've lived in this life very long, you've seen some bad days. You've seen some bad circumstances. Bad things happen. The first point I want to make is bad things happen because our world is broken, and so are we. That's the part we understand, all that stuff that's broken out there, but we forget, so are we. You know, and you trace it all the way back, just go back and read Genesis chapter 1, and you understand, you know, here, this struck me as we were worshiping today. I hadn't really thought about it this way, but I think it's from the Lord. Now follow me, this is going to, because I hadn't thought all this out because it just came to me. Bad things happening proves God's love for us. Hello. And you're going, what the heck is he talking about? God's heart for us was paradise. But because he loves us, he has given us choice. He has given us free will. Now, and we've messed it up. I was thinking about and I'm probably going to get emotional. That's okay. I don't care. You've seen me cry before. But I can remember when our girls were coming to the end of their high school years and we were sending them off to college. And they went in town, but it's still hard to send parents. It's still hard to send them across town. That's still hard. And I remember Cheryl and I sat the girls down and we had a conversation, something like this. And we said, you know, girls, we've tried to raise y'all the best we could. We've tried to love you and we've tried to show you the love of Christ and teach you about the love of Christ and how to make good decisions and how to be, you know, productive adults and all that thing, all those things. But you're growing up and we're turning you loose. Doesn't mean we're going anywhere, but we love you and there you go. Because we love you, we're not going to chain you to the bed and make you live your life doing what we want you to do. We love you and we give you freedom. We give you choice. And I remember saying to them, you're probably going to do some boneheaded things. You're probably going to do some really stupid things along the journey. And mom and dad, no matter what you do, we love you. No matter what mess you find yourself in, we love you. If you find yourself addicted to drugs or alcohol, we love you. If you find yourself pregnant outside of marriage, we love you. You know the decisions that bring life, and you know the decisions that bring death. But no matter what you choose, we love you. And guess what? The freedom that we gave them was risky because we loved them. And again, we could have nailed their feet to the floor in the house and tried to control everything they do and try to make them honor us and make the decisions that we had for them. But no, we gave them freedom. We gave them choice. God's done the same thing because he loves us. Because bad things happened, because sin came into the picture and corrupted this paradise that God had given us, it proves God's love for us. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what the Lord is saying? Bad things happening don't prove that God doesn't love it. It proves he does love us. Because he lets us mess up. He lets us choose something besides him. Without God, our world and our life is chaos. I see it all the time when people come in and they're visiting with me about things. Sometimes I just go, holy cow, how do we get our lives tangled in such knots? And I'll see people that are, 16 years old and already with a child and have addictions and all kinds of things before life even starts. They just got a mess on their hands, and it's like, man, without God, our world is chaos. Our lives are chaos. Bad things happen in this world because it's broken and because we are broken. People die. Tornadoes come and devastate. Car accidents happen and take lives. People get cancer. And yes, in my family, gas pipelines explode. You know, we live in a broken world and bad things happen. And I remember when that happened with my family, with my brother, I remember thinking, I never, and I'm not just sitting boastful or saying that if you've ever struggled with this, it's not about that. But for me, I never questioned God because I understood, man, this world is broken. Those things happen. And what really was impressed upon me was I had led my family. We had just led such a charmed life and such a blessed life. And I'm like, why should we be exempt from suffering? Now, that's easy to say, perhaps, in the rearview mirror, but why not us? Because the world's broken. And sometimes it's our fault, and sometimes it's not. Sometimes, it's not our fault that we get cancer. It's not always our fault, but it is the result of the brokenness of our world. Jesus never misled us. He never said, come follow me, and it's all going to be great. Life will be easy. No, he said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. But he went on to say, there's something, I have transcended the brokenness of this world. Follow me, and I will walk with you through this broken world. Second thing, bad things happen because we are a work in progress. We are a work in progress. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but in your mind, raise your hand in your mind. Is that possible? I'm not sure that's possible. If you have grown closer to the Lord, and I mean really close to the Lord through great, smooth times. No, it doesn't work that way. I wish it did, but it's through the trials and the struggles that we realize, you know what? I know I should have known this before now, but I got nothing but Jesus. I got nothing. Because, everything else can be taken like that. Our health, our finances, our relationships, everything can go poof, except Jesus. everything else, as the scripture says, is sinking sand. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. I'm going to write a song like that someday. Just don't sing it. Okay, deal. In James it says, consider it pure joys when you face trials of many kinds. Holy cow, what does that mean? It's like, hot dog, I lost my job this week. No, it doesn't mean that. It's saying that you know that God's up to something. I'm just getting real with you. This has been a rough week for your pastor. This has been a rough week. I won't get into all the details, but it's just been a rough week. One of the things that I've learned about myself is I am a people person. I'm a relationship. That's how I'm wired, relationship. And when relationships are not on solid footing in my life, it jacks me up, man. I'm just telling you, it messes me up. I have to fight for joy. I have to fight for peace when those relationships are not where they need to be. And when things, I'll tell you, God knew I needed a great church to be a pastor in. And he gave me you guys. Because if you guys were awful, I'd just be this blubbering pool in the corner somewhere. I wouldn't last 5 minutes in a bad church where people were mean. I just wouldn't. Because relationships is what makes me tick. But I recognize when things are not, when those relationships and when people, when circumstances are not where I would like them to be and I'm struggling, God is working on Pastor Jeff. I know most of you thought I was already perfect. That's okay. Talk to Cheryl. She can fill you in. I know I'm teasing. I know you know that I'm not. But I'm just saying that when I'm struggling with anything, God is working on me. Consider it pure joys when you face trials of many kinds because the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Something's happening in us. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be, here it is, mature and complete, not lacking anything. God is working on us. We are a work in progress. And trials and struggles is when he's chiseling away the rough edges. We're like a clay on the potter's wheel, and he's smoothing us out. He's shaping us more into his image when we embrace the process. Third thing, bad things happen because this world is not our home, and this world is not our home. So there's this this perspective to realize, you know, throughout Scripture. We are called a peculiar people. God's people are called a peculiar people, and I won't name any names, but some of you are really doing that well, okay? But this world is not our home. That perspective that's like, you know, we live in a broken world right now, but that's not our home. We're passing through, and we're trying to help everyone that we come in contact, when our life brushes up against another life, we want to bring them with us. Let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you what he's done for me. Not because I can put a notch on my Bible, but because we need Jesus. Our world, I don't know if anybody else has noticed, we're a mess. Our government's a mess. Our culture's a mess. Families are a mess. Marriages are a mess. Morality is a mess. I mean, we're a mess. Peter says it in 2 Peter says this, but in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So there's this perspective. It's like, yeah, right now, this has been a really hard week. But this isn't the end of the story. There's something else awaiting me and awaiting you. I love this This I read this story one time. I don't know if it's true, but I read it, and it ought to be if it's not true. But I read about this woman who informed her family when she died, she wanted to be, when they viewed the body, when they put her in the casket, she wanted to have a spoon in her hand. Anybody ever heard that story? And so most people would go, what's up with the spoon? You know, a little odd. You don't see spoons in caskets at funerals very often. But when she was a little girl, her mom would always, when they finished the meal, she always had dessert. And she always told the kids, save your spoon. There's something special coming. Save your spoon. Pull it off your plate. And when we clear the plate, save your spoon. And so this woman wanted people to ask, what's with the spoon? And her answer to them was, through her family, she knew that there was something else coming. There was something special that awaited her. And the spoon was that symbol. You know, church, I don't really fully understand all of this. We had the Robinson family that lost little Landry a couple of weeks ago. And man, I know thousands of others. I mean, we've prayed for Landry. She was diagnosed, I think, at 4 or 5 with cancer, brain cancer. And that little girl, she fought, and mom and dad and big brother fought and fought and fought the good fight and never lost the faith. And 2 or 3 weeks ago, little Landry went to be with Jesus. I don't understand all of that. I don't understand all of that. But I know that I'd rather be that family with Jesus than that family without Jesus. Jesus walked with them through that struggle. He walked with them at the very end. He's still walking with them today. And with all my heart, I believe Landry is cured. She's with Jesus. She doesn't have cancer anymore. This world is not our home. Scripture describes it this way. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. In other words, we can't even imagine. It's more than we can possibly imagine what heaven is like. We have that hope that is in Jesus Christ. We are a fallen people. We live in a fallen world. Bad things happen. They just do. They happen to good people, and they happen to people that aren't so good. But you know, as I say that, and Jesus died for all of us. He didn't rate it like, well, this is just for this category over here. But no, it says Jesus died for all of us. Bad things happen. The promise that we can trust and that we can proclaim as God's people is that Jesus has overcome the brokenness of this world. He has overcome sin through the cross, and He has overcome death through His resurrection. And because of that, we have hope. I want to play, just as I close today, I want to play this little short little clip. How many of you watch the Love Comes Softly series? All the women are going, it's some of the men are kind of doing this. That's probably one of my wife's favorite movies is Love Comes Softly. But there's a scene in there, if you haven't seen the movie, it's back kind of in the late 1800s, and there's a man who has, his wife has died. He's got a little girl, and then there's a young lady that's on a wagon train that's headed west, and her husband is killed. And they connect and come together just out of sheer necessity, just to survive. And she doesn't know the Lord, and he does. And one night his barn burns, and that's it. That's her breaking point, because all her stuff was in the barn, and it's just destroyed it all. And so, Lee, if you'd just show that little clip for me.
Here's some coffee.
Thank you.
What are you going to do?
Neighbors have offered to collect some logs and raise a new barn. Ben said he'd take care of the milk cow, feed her in exchange for some milk. So I'll get my feed built back up. I think it's gonna be fine. Pretty much got it worked out. Just keep praying for answers.
Why do you think he'll answer your prayers?
He always answers my prayers.
Really? Did you pray for this?
Marty.
Did you pray to have Ellen taken away from you? Did you pray that little Missy would grow up never knowing her real mother? I just don't understand why the God that you pray to would let such unthinkable things happen to decent people.
Come with me.
Where? What about the children?
Oh, Missy can watch Aaron for a little while.
Where are we going?
Going to church. Missy could fall down and hurt herself. Even if I'm walking right there beside her. That doesn't mean that I allowed it to happen. Because she knows with the Father's unconditional love, I'll pick her up and I'll carry her. I'll try to heal her. I'll cry when she cries. And I'll rejoice when she is well. In all the moments of my life, God has been right there beside me. The truth of God's love is not that he allows bad things to happen. It's his promise that he'll be there with us when they do.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Bow your heads with me. Father, it seems like maybe an odd prayer, but I thank you that you loved us enough to give us choice and free will, even when it brought all sorts of heartache and destruction and all those things to us. God, you loved us enough to give us choice. And not just choice in this world about decisions, but choice whether to respond to your love for us. And we thank you that nothing we face, no struggle, no trial, no bad thing that can happen changes the fact that you love us. And you are a good God. You're a merciful God. You're a loving God. And because of Christ, we have hope. This world is not the end. It's not our home. Thank you that you walk with us and that you've overcome the brokenness of this world. We place our faith in you. In Jesus' powerful and holy name, amen. So as we close today, if you don't know this Jesus that I'm talking about, please come and see me. Let's talk about that. If Jesus is stirring you somehow this morning, I'll be here. Come and talk with me as we close, if you stand, if you're able.
Old things have passed. Your love has stayed. Say you
Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. Therefore, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing. Nothing, church. Now go and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless you. Happy Mother's Day.
Jesus, we love you.